Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 47 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
Schools may brag about what they're doing, but that's because they're too close to it.
Moorhead State's Craft Academy has been nationally STEM certified.
A pair of bills to aid first responders passed via General Assembly this week.
Safe Haven baby boxes are now legal in the Commonwealth.
The state Libertarian Party is facing backlash.
Meanwhile, Rand Paul plans to speak to a group that stormed the U.S. Capitol in January.
In sports, Moorhead State Volleyball competes for the OVC Championship tonight.
It's Good Friday, so the stock market was closed today.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 27. We'll have a look at your region's weather extended forecast after this news.
The Craft Academy for Excellence in Science and Mathematics at Moorhead State University has earned a Cognia STEM certification for its high-quality, rigorous commitment to STEM education. Cognia, an internationally recognized organization that assesses schools and school programs, recognized the Academy as a, quote, model program. Craft Academy Director Dr. Carol Christian says a Cognia review team will come to any program that wishes to be assessed and judge them based on 16 different standards.
So they look at your curriculum and they look at your activities with students, and particularly STEM activities and experience, research and internships that you involve students in. And at the end of an audit team process, they give the school or program feedback on the quality of their program and ideas for improvement.
In order to earn the Cognia STEM certification, institutions must demonstrate a learner-centric environment and STEM learning opportunities that are well integrated in all content areas and multiple environments. More information about the Craft Academy is available at moorheadstate.edu/craft-academy.
A pair of bills that will benefit first responders in Kentucky passed the General Assembly on the final day of the legislative session. The first, House Bill 44, will allocate funding to help full-time and volunteer firefighters experiencing post-traumatic stress injuries and disorders get proper care. The second, Senate Bill 169, boosts disability benefits for first responders injured in the line of duty. Joe Bayer is the president of the Kentucky Professional Firefighters Association. HB 44 codifies into law funding for mental health awareness training and reimbursement for out-of-pocket treatment expenses for all firefighters.
So this will be a huge boost, and it's, you know, just eliminates another deterrent from somebody that needs the care but that doesn't have the resources or the funds to do it.
The bills mark progress in providing public servants with benefits they have earned and deserve.
Governor Andy Beshear signed a Safe Haven baby box bill last week. The bill allows for baby boxes to be installed that will give mothers in crisis a way to safely surrender newborns they cannot care for. The boxes will be placed near fire departments and hospitals. Alarms inside will alert 911, and first responders can find the surrendered child within minutes. Safe Haven Baby Box founder and CEO Monica Kelsey tells WYMT she's glad children in Kentucky will be able to be surrendered safely.
Close to Kentucky, we had a baby surrendered at Seymour Fire Station last year. And that little girl has been adopted, and she's got a forever family, and her mother's life has went on. And the residents of Kentucky see that. They see the success, and they want to be part of it.
Kelsey adds baby boxes have been successful in other states. Kentucky organizations have already expressed interest in the initiative, and Kelsey hopes to see baby boxes installed in the state this summer.
The Kentucky Libertarian Party is facing backlash for comparing vaccine passports to the Holocaust earlier this week. The organization tweeted, quote, "Are the vaccine passports going to be yellow, shaped like a star, and sewn onto our clothes?" End quote. Jewish leaders are responding to the tweets. Rabbi Shlomo Litvin of Shabbat of the Bluegrass in Lexington tells WIMT the passport is ultimately a consequence to a choice and can't compare to the atrocities of the Holocaust.
Now, there are things that can be compared to it. There are things going on right now in places like China, which do bear a comparison to the Holocaust, which is why it's so offensive when the Holocaust is used to describe a controversial, yes, but government document to regulate who had the vaccine and who didn't.
Litvin added he does view Kentucky as an overall anti-Semitic place and sees Kentuckians making strides against hate. In a series of tweets on Wednesday, the Kentucky Libertarian Party said that while the tweet may have been insensitive, it was in no way anti-Semitic.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul is listed as a featured guest at a summit hosted by a group that helped organize the Washington, D.C. rally that preceded the January 6th attack on the Capitol. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The Save America Summit is slated for April at a Florida golf resort owned by former President Donald Trump's company. The Louisville Courier-Journal reports the event is being hosted by Women for America First, a group involved in setting up the January 6th rally, where Trump famously urged a crowd to, quote, fight like hell before they marched to the Capitol. Paul's decision to speak on election issues at the summit has prompted criticism from Kentucky Democrats, who labeled Paul's recent travels a, quote, national insurrectionist tour. The senator recently met with U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert, who has also been accused of helping incite violence at the Capitol. Also on the list of expected speakers at the Miami summit is Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has come under scrutiny for making comments in support of far-right conspiracy theories. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The process to build a private, upscale resort near the Red River Gorge is moving forward. WMKY's Josh Grogan has more.
The Red River Economic Development Group announced private investors will buy entrepreneur Ian Till's 891 acres of land for the resort. Those unnamed investors, known as the Red River Property Holding Group, will hold the land until RRED can find a developer to build the resort. With $1 million from federal and state grants, RRED hired the engineering and design firm Stantec, which created a master plan of the whole region, including a 170-room lodge, cottages, potential house sites, a distillery, and linking trails to the gorge. But it would cost around $135 million. Red River Gorge United surveyed 472 people in the area. About 70% opposed a large resort. Meanwhile, there was more support for a restaurant, distillery, or new visitor center. More transparency will be required in the coming months. For WMKY News, I'm Josh Grogan.
And finally in news this afternoon, a beloved voice synonymous with the arts in Lexington has died. As WUKY's Josh James reports, Nick Lawrence hosted Curtains at 8 on WUKY for 24 years.
The sound was unmistakable. Nick Lawrence was about to take to the mic and devote an hour-long show to one of his passions, the arts.
Very exciting and happy to be here.
Because every time I came on, you would always have a great depth of understanding in my field.
A Kentucky native, Lawrence was originally interested in sports, but eventually caught the music bug and found himself hosting at WUKY, becoming the voice of Curtains at 8. The program showcased everyone from singers to directors to poets.
20 years, did about 50 shows a year, 50 weeks a year, three shows a week, 150. Some 3,000 people have been through here, best I can tell.
The show even featured a yearly segment highlighting the worst music he could find, a Groundhog's Day tradition known as the Woodchuck Show, featuring music most people would chuck. The more than two decades of service to the arts community earned Lawrence a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Lexington Music Awards in 2017. The longtime host passed away Wednesday at Mayfair Manor in Lexington. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Taking a look at your region's weather, Tonight, clear with a low around 27. Saturday, sunny with a high near 60. Saturday night, areas of frost after 3 a.m. Otherwise, clear with a low around 31. Sunday, widespread frost, mainly before 9 a.m. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high near 66. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 40. Monday, sunny with a high near 73. Monday night, partly cloudy with a low around 44.
On our feature segment today, life expectancy in some rural Kentucky counties is nearly 10 years shorter than the U.S. average, a fact that is impacting higher education. WMKY's Rachel Turner has more.
78 years old is the average age of death across the U.S. However, in Breathitt, Owsley, Perry, and Powell counties, the age drops to 69. The trend is similar in other parts of the region as well. There are also high rates of obesity, diabetes, suicide, alcohol abuse, and substance use disorders. Program leaders at Morehead State University are aware of the region's issues when educating future leaders. Dr. Elizabeth Nielsen is a professor of psychology, and Dr. Lynn Parsons is a professor of nursing. Both are passionate about educating students to work in the region. Parsons says MSU's Family Nurse Practitioner Program focuses extensively on the opiate crisis.
We have people living below the poverty level, and they get involved in drug use and abuse, and they just get in over their head, and they get addicted to these substances, and they need a lot of care delivery by primary care providers.
The Masters of Clinical Psychology program also focuses on substance use disorders. Nielsen says their program has a similar view of the crisis.
You know, substance use is a problem everywhere. We do know that there are specific factors that do contribute to substance use within communities like many of our students are from. And none of that has to do with moral failings of people. It just has to do with things like poverty and access to treatment and stigma.
Nielsen and Parsons agree clinicians should have a willingness to meet clients where they are at, but there are barriers to healthcare in the region. Parsons says the barriers result in a special role for nurse practitioners.
That's why it's really important that we have nurse practitioners go out into our very, very rural areas and do hands-on care, because that sometimes some of these patients will only see a mid-level provider, like a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant.
Nielsen says there is a lack of scientific evidence-based psychology practice in the community.
What we know is that there's a tremendous gap in the dissemination of evidence-based programming and community practice. And so it can take, a study was once done where they found that it takes 17 years for a empirically supported program within science to make its way into the community.
She adds the program at MSU wants to shorten that gap. Nielsen says a common problem related to the public health crisis is locals leaving the region.
A tendency that you see within graduate programs across disciplines, whether it's medicine or clinical psych or other things, is often people, when they go and get graduate degrees, they leave their communities. There's it's called the brain drain, where they leave the communities that they're from.
Both the psychology program and the nursing program educate students who have a desire to change this problem. Parsons says most of the nurses in the program are from Eastern Kentucky.
It is our fervent hope that when students graduate from our program, that they go out into our clinics in the Eastern Kentucky region to provide hands-on care.
Nielsen says their program also encourages students to stay in the region.
I think we really try and recruit students who are passionate about rural health and who want to go back to their communities or want to serve rural communities, which I think is, and we're really supportive of that. And so I think that's really important, because it doesn't really do anyone any good for students to come to our program and then, you know, leave and go somewhere else.
Recent studies have shown community programs are helping to bridge the healthcare gap. Counties providing more transportation to medical appointments and healthy meals to school children have also been proven to be successful. For WMKY, I'm Rachel Turner.
Support for MSPR comes from the Moorhead Community Recycling Center. Maintaining a safe operation, CDC recommended health and safety guidelines are followed. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership with the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. Located near the Moorhead City Park with a 24-hour drop-off service, curbside service, and more information at 784-1250. Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
It's 47 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Daria Denisenko, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We'll have a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us at the end of the work week. Moorhead State University Volleyball is fighting for the OVC title tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. For the second consecutive season, Moorhead State Volleyball makes an appearance in the Ohio Valley Conference Volleyball Championship match, facing Jacksonville State tonight at Johnson Arena. The contest serves as a rematch of the team's final regular season series, which split between the two teams this past weekend. The Gamecocks took the opening match of the series in five sets before the Eagles rallied Monday for a straight set victory to claim a share of the OVC regular season championship and the OVC Volleyball Championship's number one seed. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker says both teams will be going into tonight's competition with a chip on their shoulders.
We lost last year in the finals, and for them, we knocked them off their home court last year in the OVC tournament. So I have no doubt they're trying to do the same thing, but it will come down to who goes out and tries to earn points, because neither team is going to give them. And so if a team starts to look for the other team to hand it over, they're going to be in trouble.
Tonight's match features a 6 p.m. first serve time and airs on ESPN+. The Moorhead State softball team is on the field in Nashville this afternoon for Game 3 with Tennessee State. The Eagles fell in Game 1 yesterday 5-2, but won this afternoon in Game 2 1-0. Head coach Samantha Jones says her team was prepared for a return to colder weather for weekend play.
I think we're pretty used to being outside, and I mean, maybe not so much of, you know, going back to that weather like we had in February, but the girls are pretty used to being outside and practicing in cold weather and just preparing for any environmental situation we have.
The teams are currently on the field for Game 3. Live stats are available at msueagles.com. The Moorhead State baseball team beat SIU Edwardsville this afternoon at Sunny Allen Field 13-10. The win moves the Eagles to 11-10 with two matches left in the three-game series. Head coach Mick Aoki says his team needs to work some on their defense.
Some of the errors have not really come back to haunt us all that much, but I just feel like we are capable of being a little bit better there. And then the hitting, you know, our hitting has struggled a little more than what I thought it would. So hopefully being able to play at home, getting back to, you know, the friendly confines of Sunny Allen will give our guys a little bit of a boost.
The Eagles and the Cougars face off again tomorrow. A doubleheader is set to begin at noon, and tickets are available at msueagles.com. The Moorhead State soccer team welcomes Austin Peay this evening for their final home game of the spring season. The Eagles will be honoring their senior players tonight, which include defender Lauren Kuntz, midfielders Caitlin Burdine, Tia Williams, Katie Kilbasa, and Katie Quinn, and forward Ashley Ritchie. Head coach Warren Lipka says his seniors have been helpful, even with the adversity of playing in a pandemic.
I'm just glad that they had the opportunity to play their senior year. You know, when the fall was gone, we weren't sure if the spring was going to be here. And, you know, I know it's been a tough year, but at least they got to play it, and I'm happy for that. So, you know, we're going to celebrate their career.
That game is currently in progress. You can watch online or check out live stats at msueagles.com. The Morehead State University football team is set to hit the road to take on Butler tomorrow afternoon. The Eagles have been hard at work after a tough loss last weekend at Davidson. Head coach Rob Tenier says his guys are focused and will be there in full force to take on the Bulldogs during this difficult season.
You know, guys have to make plays when they're called upon, number one. They know that. And, you know, the next thing is yeah, you know, with just the short season and a small preseason and no fall, and, you know, you're playing catch up a little bit as far as reps. But at this point, you know, game five, game six, we've got to be ready to go out and execute too. So we're just working on those things to get better this week.
Kickoff tomorrow afternoon is set for 3 p.m. The Round County baseball team opens regular season play tonight. They'll be hosting a doubleheader with Menifee County. Last night's road game with the Wildcats was pushed back. Viking head coach Scott Collins says with so many variables at play this season, a lot of teams are going to have to wing it for the first few weeks.
Normally, year to year, you kind of know what they had the year before and you know, what to prepare for, you know, this season. But without us having the season, the unknown is the biggest factor. You know, of course, the other side of that is that, you know, they don't know what we've really got because, you know, in 19, you may have had a freshman and now they're juniors and, you know, how well they developed, you know, in that year's time.
First pitch tonight is set for 5:30 p.m. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Round County Senior High School softball team returns to action this evening, hosting Estill County. It's been a busy start to the season for Rowan, with the Lady Engineers being their third contest of the week. Head coach Larry Sloan says it's been an interesting start for a couple of reasons. His team had been off for an extended period of time due to the pandemic, but so has everyone else, and that makes gauging their opponents especially difficult.
You know, not having any idea of where those teams are, because when they lost seniors from the year that we didn't play, you don't know how it affected them because you didn't get to see them play. And not knowing where they are is a big mystery.
Things get underway in Rowan County this evening at 6 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from Morehead Primary Care at 333 Beacon Hill Road. Morehead Primary Care welcomes physicians' assistants Kevin Cummins and Alicia Perry, accepting new patients with a focus to build patient and provider relationships for acute and chronic illnesses. Morehead Primary Care remains committed to the health of our community during this COVID-19 crisis. Office appointments and telehealth available at 606-780-0444. That's 606-780-0444. Or visit the website at moreheadprimarycare.com.
Taking another look at your region's weather forecast, tonight clear with a low around 27, Saturday sunny with a high near 60, Saturday night areas of frost after 3 a.m., otherwise clear with a low around 31, Sunday widespread frost mainly before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 66.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we have help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Ben Hall, Daria Denisenko, Rachel Turner, Heather Fannin, Lakin Hupp, Josh Grogan, Megan Jones, and Shamari Mosley. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Rachel Turner. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.